Yay, God. Praise God. Mighty awesome God. We started talking about being dressed for the occasion. Yeah. Praise night and the week before that. So 2 weeks ago. I had an opportunity today to realize that God put me in a situation where I was dressed for the occasion. On my way home this afternoon, I met a lady who I do not know, a stranger, an absolute stranger, but I just felt impressed to stop and talk to her. And it turns out that she lost her husband 3 weeks ago, and she's heartbroken. And I sat and talked with her, and I was able to help her. And I realized, you know, I'm talking about us being dressed for the occasion, and I realized that we have to be up in that healing process, Father. We thank you for the transitions that she's making in her life, where she will be well cared for, where she will be surrounded with family. And we ask that those transitions be smooth, and that as she moves into that new setting, Father, that there's peace. That there's peace in the home, peace in her heart, peace in the hearts of those around her. And I have asked Daddy that the day will come when she will look you in the face and say, thank you, God, for all you've done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. We started the message, are you dressed for the occasion, by looking at the parable in Matthew about the wedding feast. And we noticed that in that wedding feast, there was a guest who refused to wear the garment that the king had provided. And he was promptly kicked out, thrown out. It wasn't a pretty scene. God had him kicked out. You don't want to be kicked out, do you? There is only one proper garment for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And that's what the parable is referring to, the wedding feast of the Lamb. There's only one proper garment. There's only one way to be dressed for that occasion, and that is to be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was purchased for you and for me by the shed blood of Jesus. If you try to get in that banquet with any other garment, you too will be tossed out on your head. And it won't be pretty. It says where he was tossed out, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then, you know, I mean, I don't really even know what gnashing of teeth is, but it don't sound good. It doesn't sound like anything I want to be a part of. Even for Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, God provided clothing. He has provided our dress for the wedding feast of the Lamb. For Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, he took off their man-made garments of fig leaves, and he gave them clothing that he had made for them out of the skins of sacrificed animals. God has always made available to us proper wedding dress, proper dress in which to be with him, to serve him. When we stopped, which occasioned part two, because I really didn't envision this was going to be two-part, but here we are. We stopped at part one with Romans 12, I think 13, where it says, be clothed with Christ. And we were just getting ready to talk about what does that mean and how do we do it on a practical basis in our daily lives. So let's look at a verse in Job. Let's start there. Job 29:14, Job said, I clothed myself in righteousness. Aha, oho, ah. Job knew that the only apparel to come before God with is righteousness, the righteousness of God. I clothed myself in righteousness, and it enveloped me. Hey, have you ever seen those, I don't even know what they're called, but they're these great big, like, hard plastic bubbles that I guess kids and adults both can play in, where you get inside it and you seal it up, and then you just roll and run and change. Okay, he said, that's enveloped, you know, that's being enveloped in plastic, all wrapped up in. He said, I was enveloped in righteousness. my just decisions. You see, righteousness means right ways, God's right ways. It means truth. Righteousness is truth. And so he said that my just decisions, my righteous decisions, my just truthful decisions, they were like a robe and a turban. I lived my life in truth. I lived my life with the truth of God, the decisions that I made. And you know, Job was one of those who sat at the gate of the city to hear people come and help them and make decisions there too. So the decisions he made for his life and for others, he made based on truth, on the truth of the righteousness of God. Let's go to the next one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, put on the new self. Put it on. See, we're supposed to be clothed with Christ. Put it on. That sounds like a garment, doesn't it? Put on the new self. Oh, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are made new. Put on that new creation. Put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness. You know, our old self was created according to Satan's likeness. You know that. Before we took Jesus as our Savior, we were in the devil's likeness. Don't sound so good once you've lived in the likeness of Christ, does it? But put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness. And here it again is, the purity of truth. So our lives should be lived according to righteousness, according to right ways. God's ways are right ways. God's ways are truth. That is being clothed with Christ, putting on the righteousness of God. We've got to get to how we do it in a practical way. Let's look at the next verse. Okay, let's go back. Let's not go to the next verse yet. Pastor Linda taught on the same parable just out of Luke on Sunday, and she said, Jesus is the invitation. Remember hearing that? The invitation to the wedding supper. If you have accepted Jesus, taken Jesus into your heart, into your life as your Lord and Savior, if you've made a heartfelt commitment to him, you have already been given the gift of salvation, the robe of righteousness. You are now a new creation. And it's time to learn to live according to that new creation. I love watching atheists come to Jesus, because you know, they don't make their decision in the emotion of a moment. They don't make their decision based on pressure from those around them or peer pressure. Their decision is hard-fought, heartfelt, and deeply committed. And I hope that's true of all of us. But when you see someone who has come from an atheist to actually believing. I mean, they've done a 180-degree turn from what they used to think and be. They've made a deep, heartfelt, hard-fought, because it takes a while to be convinced that what you believed was wrong and to begin to believe something different and walk toward that. And so once they've made that decision, then there's such a beauty in watching them learn to fight the good fight of faith, to change their thinking, to change their habits, and become what Christ says we are. That's a beautiful thing to watch. I remember Sean, when he came here, he was about 14, and he and Kylie both used to help me in the children's ministry as assistants. And in children's ministry, obviously, we talk about taking Jesus as our Savior, and every once in a while I will ask the children, have you all received Jesus? Is anyone here who wants to? And a couple of times I asked Sean, I said, Sean, have you received Jesus yet? And he said, no. I said, are you ready? No, not yet. Why not? because he was still studying it. He was still thinking. He was still making sure. He was still inquisitive, inquiring, learning, learning, learning. But the day that he made his decision, he made a heartfelt commitment. And that's just, I think, to me, that's the beauty of watching people who have been atheists or who have not been in Christ, who have been convinced another way, to become convinced that Christ is Lord. And once we have done that, once we have taken Jesus into our heart as our Lord and Savior, you know, now the free gift is yours. Salvation is free. The free gift is yours. Righteousness is yours. The new creation is yours. Bishop started out tonight saying I had good news and bad news. That was the good news. Now the bad news is, if it's bad news, is that now there are expectations. It's not enough to say, yep, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. Now I have to learn to change my life. I have to learn to change my thinking. I have to learn to live according to the standard that God set. Not the standards that I knew prior to that, not the standards that other people set. It's time to learn to live according to the standards that God set. Therefore, let's go to the next verse. This verse says, you have begun to live the new life. You are not a finished product. I'm not a finished product. We have begun to live the new life in which we are being made new into the image of Christ. We are becoming like the one who made you. There's the journey. There's the process. Walking from yes, Jesus. I call it saying yes to Jesus. He asked you to marry him. He said yes. It's walking from saying yes to Jesus to actually becoming in his image, becoming in the image of God. And this new life that we are working toward, this new life that we are learning, this new life that we are changing into brings you to the true knowledge of God, brings you to the truth of God, brings you to that thing. Righteousness is right living. Righteousness is truth. It brings you to truth. Let's go on. Let's see what's next. So, chosen by God for this new love, life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. I'm going to read that again. So, you who are chosen by God for this new life, for this new creation, this life of love, dress in the wardrobe that God has picked out for you. Now let me ask you a question. When you get up in the morning, do you think about what you're going to wear for the day? Most of us do. And most of us get dressed shortly after we work, well, shortly after we get out of bed. Do you put as much thought into dressing for your day spiritually as you do into dressing for your day with your physical clothes? Do you give that as much thought as you give what you put on your body? Because what you put on your body is nowhere near as important as how you dress for the day spiritually. And believe me, there are going to be dozens of occasions during your day when God wants you dressed appropriately, dressed for the occasion, prepared and ready to do what he's asking of you. So I hear people say, it's been said to me, I don't even know, I couldn't count the number of times, when you talk to them about starting out their day with God, I don't have time for that in the morning. I'm too busy. My life is too full. I don't have time for that in the morning. I try to do it when I get home at night. Well, you know, if you try to do it, you know, what you're telling me is that you don't do it. If we do not start our day with God, preparing ourselves spiritually. You know what that's like? That's like walking out of your door in your pajamas. Walking out the door to go to work or whatever you're going to do, go shop. In the clothes you wore to bed last night, would you do that? Well, I know some people go somewhere in their pajamas once in a while. But that is not our goal, correct? Most people, when they get ready to go out their door, are dressed for whatever they're going. You don't go to work in your nightgown. Well, you can because you work at home. That's true. I hope you still find time to dress with God first. I don't know about you, but when I get done with a day, sometimes there's not a whole lot of Jesus left in me. Sometimes at the end of your day, you don't have a whole lot of Jesus left in you. And so if you try to go out of the house the next day with only what you got left over from yesterday, it's going to be a tough day. It's going to be a little bit tough to walk in the character of Christ all day long. So it is really important that at the beginning of our day, we take time to think about him, to talk to him, to read his word, to be recharged from the day before. It's really important that we take that time in the morning. You will not walk out of your house and go to work in your pajamas, in the clothes you wore to bed last night, and then come home at the end of the day and change into your clothes. You don't go to work in your pajamas and come home and put your work clothes on. But you will walk out of the house without your spiritual garment, without being recharged, without dressing for the occasions of the day that God has for you, and then come home at night and read a little bit of the word and think you put it on, you put on your garment now. I don't know about you. I remember when I was working full-time. I'm not right now, but there's still a whole bunch of stuff that can just steal the Jesus right out of you. Bishop used to say to me every once in a while, "You dropped your cross, Donna." What he meant by that was that I wasn't responding correctly to whatever happened. Something stole the Jesus out of me. All you have to do is go to work. You don't have to go to work, Marisol. You're so blessed with that. But you go to work and there's that coworker who just gets on your last nerve. 5 minutes after you walk through the door, you're all done with them. Or you're driving down the road and there's this careless driver who almost causes you to get into an accident. And you spend all day talking about that and thinking about that and letting it steal all the Jesus out of you. Or you have children who just know how to push your buttons and they push them all day long. Don't be looking at Savannah. That's not nice. I'm teasing. And then there's that phone call. There's that phone call with bad news that tries to steal your joy, or that phone call that tells you that you forgot something that was really important and now you got to figure out how to get it done, how to take care of it. There's so many things that can just steal the Jesus right out of you all day long. And so before you hit the street the next day, it's really important that you have connected with God. Now, I'll just tell you what happens to me, because I know how hard it is, regardless how good your intentions are, I know how hard it is to do that every morning. God has blessed me. God has blessed me with a Cuban tree toad or tree frog, whatever they're called. I don't know if they're toads or frogs. Who clings to the bedroom window right at the head of my bed. Every morning he starts croaking at 5 o'clock. Well, yay God, it is time for me to wake up and be present. Now, honestly, I do appreciate that. I have thanked God for that toad because I realize that it's about an hour before the sun's going to come up and it's time for me to spend time with Jesus. Because if I walk out that bedroom door before I have spent my time with Jesus, thank God for the toad. If I walk out of that bedroom door before I have spent my time with Jesus, the minute I step out that door, my mind is racing with all the things in the house that need to be cleaned up, picked up, put away. All the sand and dirt and grass on the floor from 2 humans and 3 dogs yesterday. All the things I have to do before we even take the doggies out for a walk. Fill the dog dishes, fill the water bowls, la, 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 la. And the doggies have to be out for a walk early enough that we're back in before the sun comes over the treetops and starts heating up the day. I don't dare walk out of my bedroom door without having spent time with God, or I guarantee you it's not going to get done. My mind is racing with, you know, what appointments do I have today? What commitments have I made today? What do I have to study today? What projects am I? And that to-do list in my notebook that just gets longer and longer. And I cross them off. I love crossing off. But it just keeps getting longer. Every time you cross off one, you put 2 more on it. So it's important for me, and I know it's as important for you, that you dress spiritually before you ever walk out of your house. For me, it's before I ever walk out of the bedroom. Some of you, I mean, before you ever walk out of your house. That's really important. And I know how much more difficult it is to connect with God during the day, to stay connected with Him, if I haven't connected with Him in the morning. Now, my commitment, my declaration at the beginning of this year when Bishop had us all tell, mine was to learn to live in unbroken connection with God. And I can say that, you know, we're a little more than halfway through the year, and I have made a lot of progress. I am so much happier with how I see God around me all day long, how I see Jesus. I love, after that tree toad that God blessed me with, that Cuban toad, he's Cuban, Marisol. I'm thanking God for this Cuban toad. What's that? That's why he's loud. Hey, I never thought about that. He is loud. And he is insistent. He's loud and he's insistent. Okay, I thank God for that. Then I go through my time with God. And, you know, I walk out of the house. I didn't even have to walk out of the house. I hear the cardinals singing outside. I hear the one that's singing, Chirri, chirri, chirri. Chirri, chirri, chirri. Chirri, chirri, chirri. That's a message from God. He's saying cheer. Good morning. Chirri, chirri, chirri. And I hear the one that answers him with pretty, pretty, pretty. Pretty, pretty, pretty. And I'm like, thank you, God. I am. Thank you. You made me this way. Walk out and smell the flowers. See all of the beautiful greenery around me. See the neighbor that rides his bicycle around our block, which is like 4 mile ride around the block. And acknowledges us when he goes by. Not just, shoop, but, good morning, how are you? That's God. Can you see God in those things? I see God in so many things around me now. So many more than I did before I made that commitment to connect with him all day long. To connect with him all day long, all that means is you just notice where he is and what he's done, who he is, and what he's doing. I go to Publix quite often, and always when you come up to the checkout counter, they say, did you find what you needed? Or did you find everything you need? That's God talking to me, Donna. Did you find everything you needed? Do you walk down the aisle and you look and one of them comes up to you and says, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, God. Yeah, yeah, you can help me. That's God asking you. Can you see God in these everyday things? I walked out of the grocery store yesterday, and the gentleman who was bagging my groceries, let's put it that way, probably wasn't paying attention to my age and thinking about my abilities, because he really stuffed those bags full. I think he was trying to make sure that he had the proper number of items in each bag, but that made some of them too heavy. And I walked out, you know, to where you park your cart, and I was trying to lift my bag of groceries out of the cart, and I honestly couldn't lift it up. But there was a gentleman who looked a lot like Rick, who was walking by, and he said, let me put those in your car for you. And he lifted those things up like they were nothing. Who sent him to me? God sent him to me. To lift those groceries out of the cart and put them in the car for me. I came out of aerobics Monday morning, and there was a man, an elderly Hispanic man, walking down the sidewalk like this. Looking happy and cheerful and jaunty, and I was walking down the sidewalk like this. I'm exhausted. I was whipped by that exercise class. I'm like, oh my God. And he looked at me and he said, cheer up, honey, it'll get better. That was so cute. Who was that? Who was that talking to me? Come on, answer me. Yes, that was God talking to me. And I'm like, yes, it will get better. Yes, it will get better. As I get stronger, it'll get easier. Yes, it will get better. He's everywhere. All we need to do is look for him. Staying connected with him all day long helps you be prepared for every occasion that he sets in front of you, like the lady that he brought across my path who had just lost her husband. What if I had not even thought about God this morning? What if I just gotten up and, well, you know, see, I'm, I don't want to say it that way. How do I say this? It's been a hectic end of June and beginning of July in my life. Okay, so I have, my daughter's flying into Punta Gorda tomorrow to pick us up and take us to the wedding that we're going to. So I'm going early in the day. Her plane doesn't get in until late, and I don't drive after dark. So I'm going early in the day to spend some time over there and enjoy myself and then wait for her in the airport. I am so grateful for all of the things that God puts in my life that are him. But if I had gotten up this morning and spent no time with him, realizing that I'm trying, you know, to be prepared to preach tonight and be prepared to go on a trip and be prepared to pick up my daughter and have the car washed and cleaned and ready and everything. All the, what could I have been doing today instead of enjoying God? Oh, I'd have been running around like, what are they saying? Yeah, the chicken with no head. I'd been running around like that if I had not connected with God before I ever got out of that bedroom. And could say to myself, I don't have to do all that stuff right now. And then as I went through the day, ruled by all of that tension, if you will, and all of that need, do you think I would have stopped to talk to that stranger? Likely not. I cannot overemphasize the importance of connecting with God in your morning. However you choose to do it, you may only have time to read a short devotion and talk to him for a minute. God, go with me today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for all you're going to do with me today. All you're going to do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, help me get through this day, Daddy. Just help me get through it. I don't know what your morning could or should look like. I only know that you should not leave your house without being properly dressed spiritually. I don't care what you wear on your body. It's like here, cover up. That's all that's required. Cover up. Come and hear the word of God. Just cover up. Go outside, cover up. Yeah, right. Okay. So I understand how hard it is to do that in the morning. I understand the focus it takes, the intentionality that it takes to stay connected with God all day long. I understand that dressing in the wardrobe God has picked out for you is not easy, but it is required. Now, I have an iPhone, You probably know that. That's not news to you, is it? But I have an older iPhone. I won't even tell you how old. But it's old enough that it now only has 70% of battery life left. Do you know what that means? That 30% of that battery is never going to work again. So I get these notices from Apple periodically. It's time to buy a new phone. Your phone only has 70% battery. Okay, but guess what? I don't want to spend $1,400 for an iPhone 14. Guess what? I like to keep my money. So I keep, well, several of you know that because my phone only has 70% battery life, it tends to wear out about 10 o'clock. Sometimes that happens to me. Some of you have been on the phone with me, and I have said to you, my phone only has 1% battery left, so I'm going to have to hang up here in just a minute, right? And for some of you, we didn't hang up here in just a minute, and the phone died, and so we called one another later. It would be nice if I could just keep that thing plugged in all day. But, you know, that's what we used to do. We have mobile phones so that we don't have to be attached to the wall with a cord and a plug, right? Any of you here old enough to remember the phones that were on the wall? Yeah, okay. And so the phone rang and you went over to it and you picked it up and you, hey, how you doing? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oops, I can't quite get to the sink to do my dishes. I mean, then you buy a longer cord so you can get a little farther down. We bought mobile phones, cell phones, so that we didn't have to be tied to a cord to the wall. It would be nice if I could keep my phone plugged in all day. I wouldn't be done. It wouldn't be dead by 10 o'clock or 10:30. But then guess what? You actually can. My husband, he bought me an early birthday present. It hasn't arrived yet, but he bought it. It's called a clutch. It's a little exterior battery charger. It's the size of a credit card, and it plugs into my phone, clings to my phone all day long, and I'm just carrying my phone. It's got a little battery pack on the back the size of a credit card. It's called a clutch. We need to be like that with Jesus. We need to cling to him all day long, stay plugged into him all day long, cling to him. That little pack, clutch right to your phone and walk around. Yeah, no problem. It's charging. No problem. It can charge my phone, keep it charged all day long. And then at the end of the night, I can plug them both in and recharge them. Can we be like that with Jesus? Can we be like that with him? Cling to him all day long. Let him recharge us all day long. I hate to think how differently I would meet the circumstances of life each day if I wasn't being recharged by him hour by hour. I really hate to think about it. So, let's see. Chosen by God. I probably went a long ways with that, didn't I? Chosen by God for this new life of love. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Dress in that new life. What is the wardrobe that God picked out with you for you? It's his character. It's why Bishop spent half a year, 28 weeks, preaching on Take a Walk with Jesus, so that we could see the character of Jesus, so that we could live the character of Jesus. The wardrobe that God picked out for us is Christ's character. Every day before we walk out of our house, it is important that we have refreshed ourselves with God, refreshed ourselves so that we can walk in his character, so that we can walk with compassion. Compassion is what was functioning this afternoon when I met that stranger, that lady whom I knew nothing about, and she knew nothing about me, and she poured her heart out to me because compassion was operating. Excuse me. The wardrobe he's picked out for us is compassion, kindness, humility. What's humility? have a lot of definitions for humility, some of them good, some of them bad. I love what Bishop says. Humility is agreeing with God. You are who God says you are, because you know how many times has God said something you're like, I can't. I don't have time. I don't want to. But humility is agreeing with God. Okay, God, you said it. Here we go. Humility is being teachable. Maybe you've been an educator all your life. Can you learn from somebody else? Humility is being able to say, oh, I was wrong. You were right. Humility is part of the character of Christ. That's what took him to the cross. He didn't have to be first place. He didn't have to be. He wasn't recognized for who he was. He was mission focused. And it didn't really, I'll say it this way, it didn't really matter how people treated him. Maybe it's better to say how people treated him did not distract him from his focus. Because he lived in humility. All right, quiet strength. Ha, 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 ha. Yay, God. We all know what bullies are. Bullies are people who don't understand quiet strength. Bullies are people who think the more they bluster, the more they blow, the stronger they are. Facebook bullies. Road rage bullies. Bullies are everywhere, not just in the school. They do not understand that strength is the discipline to hold your temper, keep your mouth shut, do the right thing at the right time. Quiet strength isn't weakness. It's strength. It's the kind of strength that we all want. Quiet strength is what helps us keep our mouth shut when we'd rather say something. Yeah, well, I wouldn't even have to finish the sentence. But that is one of the garments that Christ has picked. You know, look, think visually right now through your closet. Think of all the colors you have in your closet and all of the different kinds of garments. I have shorts. I have dress pants. I have one pair of blue jeans thanks to the Bear Swift wedding. I have skirts. I have glasses. I have T-shirts. I have swimming suits. And I have colors red and blue and not much green, but some green and pink and purple and yellow and orange and brown and burgundy. And God's closet for you is pretty good, too. Pretty colorful. He wants you to put on compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, the discipline to keep your mouth shut when you should and open it up when you should. The discipline to keep your opinion to yourself when it really doesn't matter and all it'll do is start an argument. The discipline to follow his word. Let's move on. There's some more, I'm sure. Be even-tempered. Oh, yeah, like when Bishop says to you, Donna, I have a question. Do you want a question? Do you want a question, Donna? Yeah, Bishop, if you have a question, I'd love to hear your question. He asked you a question. I say, no, I don't know the answer to that. I never actually even thought about it. Well, then I guess you'll have to come to church on Sunday. No, that's not even-tempered. That's like a little tantrum. Are you serious? You aren't going to. Okay. And I accused him of telling me that because he knew I wasn't going to be here Sunday, but I guess he honestly didn't realize that I was. So whatever. Even-tempered. I'm working on that one. How's that? I can't say if you asked my husband, is Donna even-tempered? I don't think he'd say yes. He'd probably say she's working on it. Okay. Be content with being second place. You don't always have to be first place. In fact, you know why others are first place and not you? Because God is teaching you through them. You don't want to be first place. You want to be in a position of a learner. There are places where God's going to put you where you're going to be first place and you're going to teach others. But realize that not being first place is for a reason, and that reason is because God is teaching. Be quick to forgive an offense. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. We're working on that, right? We're getting better at that, right? Be quick to forgive an offense. What's Bishop tell us? Offense is offense. It keeps you out of heaven. We don't want to stay out of heaven. We want to be in. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. How quickly did he forgive you? The minute you said, God, I'm sorry. The very second you said, oh, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You were forgiven. How completely did he forgive you? He cast it all as far as the east is from the west. He threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. He never brings it up again. And when you do, he goes, what are you talking about? That's how he forgave you. Can you? Can I forgive Rick like that if he offends me? Can I throw that as far away from me as the east is from the west, which I don't even know how far that is. I don't think you measure that distance. Throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, or I'll never be seen again. Can I forgive him and never bring it up again? Can you do that? That's part of our wardrobe. That's that beautiful burgundy outfit, shirt for men, dress for ladies, that one that's the color of the blood of Jesus. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Love, the Bible says, love covers. Love covers the multitude of sins. You wear love, it covers. It covers your sins. It covers the sins of those who are right. It covers. Love covers sin. Love is, you know the chapter, patient, love is kind, love is not easily offended, not doesn't puff itself up. There's so many things, but love covers, and love never fails. If we could live in love, we would successfully wear the character of Christ all day, every day. Never be without it. Where do we go from here? Let's go. Whatever is next. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, good. I like this. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with one another. Anybody in here ever play an instrument that needed to be tuned? I mean, like every instrument you can play needs to be tuned in one way or another. Pianos need to be tuned. Guitars need to be tuned. Everything. So if you play your instrument and you only play solo by yourself, you have to tune your instrument to itself, correct? If I have a guitar, and let's say it has five strings, and I have to tune each one of those so that they're in tune with one another. However, if you're going to play in any kind of ensemble, any kind of band, any kind of group, not only do you have to have your instrument in tune with itself, you have to tune your instrument to everybody else in the orchestra. That's why, you know, they have the, it, when a concert is being held and who's that first chair violin, I think it is, strikes a certain note and everybody in the orchestra tunes into it. Because you need to keep in tune with each other. You need to be playing the same sound. And it's the sound of Christ. It's the sound of the character of Christ. Can you keep in tune with each other? If I'm walking along and I'm with Pastor Marjorie and I'm just a little bit out of tune with her, then I gotta tune my instrument so that we are both sounding the beautiful sound of the character of Christ. And keep in step with each other. If you've ever been part of a marching band or a drum corps or a dance team, or even an aerobics class, you have to stay in step with one another so you don't trip each other up. It's not just for looks. You know, we're watching the parade and we're watching them all. And we're like, wow, look at that. They're all in step. Don't they look good? However, it isn't just for looks. It's so that you don't mess one another up. We have to stay in step with each other so that we're not messing one another up, so we're not messing this church up, so we're not messing God's plan up. Stay in step with each other. The only way to stay in step with each other is to stay in step with God all day long. None of this going off and doing your own thing. You go off and do your own thing. The saying is the first banana away from the bunch is the first one to get peeled. So, if you're going off to do your own thing, you're the one that's going to get peeled. You're the one that's going to get The devil is just out there waiting for you to step away from the bunch. He's just out there just waiting for you to go off and do your own thing. Why do you think so many people get deceived? Why do you think so many people fall away from the word, drop out of the church? Why do you think there are so many crazy, confusing things going on out in the world? Because people are doing their own thing. They're not doing God's thing. They're doing their own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. We talked about that when we were talking about staying connected with God. All day long you can say, thank you, God, for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. Thank you for that, Cardinal. Thank you for that, Robin. Thank you for the friend. Thank you for the man who opened the door for me and held it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There, you could not stop saying thank you. You wouldn't even notice all the things to say thank you for every day. We should. The more we notice, the more connected with God we stay. Cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. This is why people get deceived. This is why people go off and do their own thing. This is why people are not in tune with one another. This is why people are not in step with one another. Because they do not let the message, the word of God, rule the house, your house, your life, your way of thinking. We go off and do our own things. Pastor Linda mentioned the Sparkle Creed to us Sunday. I was like, what? What in the world is that? And I didn't know, but I had, from her message, you knew that it had to do with the LGBTQ whatever movement, the alphabet, yeah. You know, you can change God's word to suit any fad. You can change God's word to suit any circumstance, any situation, but you are not letting the word of Christ have the run of the house, have the run of your life. I actually went and read it, and I was appalled. And I thought, God, how did Christians go so far afield? And I ask that question when I see so many people being deceived. And I see the deception in the overall Christian church. This is what God said. Because they don't let the word of Christ, we don't let the message have rule. Jesus is the word made flesh. The message translation says in that verse, it says he took on flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Do you live like that? Like Jesus took on flesh and moved into your neighborhood? The denominations, and this is really sad. But I watched this happen because, I went to Christian high school, Christian college, worked in Christian grade schools, and I watched it happening starting in the 50s when progressive, liberal, whatever word you want to use for it, when they rejected the virgin birth of Christ. They threw out the virgin birth. And then they threw out 5 days of creation and traded it for billions and billions of years. And then they threw out the fact that the Word of God doesn't make mistakes, that it's truth. And they traded that for the Word of God contains truth. But there are things in it that we as human beings don't agree with. There are things in it that science doesn't agree with. And science is our authority, not God. So what did they? The word of God no longer had the run of the house in those denominations. And then along came the Enlightenment, which is, could there be a worse name for that? Because in the Enlightenment, in the churches, man became the authority, not God. Is it any wonder that someone can stand up now in front of a church and say, well, we're going to throw out the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Is there any wonder that they can throw that out? Because for more than half a century, they've been changing the Word of God to suit their favorite theology, their favorite fads. But guess what? We do the same thing. We don't like what it says about our situation, so we change it to suit our situation. Instead of letting the Word of Christ, the message, the one who moved into the neighborhood, have the run of our house, have the rule of our life, have control of our minds, we change the Word of God to suit our circumstances. Is it any wonder that we are deceived? Satan, the father of lies, is just waiting out there for you to believe a lie. He will feed you 100 lies in one day. And it's your choice. Sean sang that song, "I've Chosen." I've made my choice. We have to make our choice. Paul commended the Bereans. I don't know in which epistle it is, but he said, he commended them because when he preached to them, they researched. They checked it out. If they had any questions, they asked. Do you do that? When we preach to you, do you go to your Bible and check it out to make sure that we're telling you the truth? And I just referenced a lot of scriptures tonight that weren't up there. Will you go and check them out and make sure I wasn't lying to you? People are so deceived, they'll follow anybody if they don't check it out with the message. Let the Word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. And let's see if we can finish that verse before I run out of time. I don't know. Let's go on. Oh, it is that. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Give the Word. Give Christ the living Word. The one who became flesh and moved into your neighborhood, moved into your heart, moved into your house. Give it plenty of room in your life. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. Oh, what happened to good common sense? Where does that live today? Well, I hope it lives in you. Because just like we are the hope of the world, we also the hope for common sense. And sing, 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 sing your hearts out to God. You would be surprised at how hard you can cry and still sing. I was surprised when I realized years ago how hard I could cry and still sing. Let every detail in your lives, your words, your actions, whatever you do, be done in the name of the Master. Do you know that you can't cuss people out in the name of the Master? Do you know that you can't leave your shopping cart in the parking lot and not put it in the cart corral in the name of the Master? I mean, I'm sorry. It's every little detail of your life. Do you know that you can't break the speed limits? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you know that you can't break the speed limits in the name of the Master? Let every detail, words, actions, whatever you do, be done in the name of the Master. Comma, Jesus, the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. You know, especially at Publix, I don't like to take my cart back to the cart corral because they're so far away. Which is why I usually try to pick my bags up out of the cart before I exit the store and leave the cart, you know, parked in the store in the lineup. But when I have to take it to the car and then here, because, you know, when I find a parking spot, I'm always looking for the one that's closest to the store, right? But then the cart corrals are way down there. So when you have to do that, can you, you know, thank you, God, I still have the strength to take this cart to the cart corral. Thank you, God, that every step I'm taking is energy. Thank you, God, for the opportunity. Thank you that I still can. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, every step of the way. We don't think about that. We take the carts back to the cart corral thinking, God, why did they design it this way that these are so far away from, you know, negative. Okay. Let's go. We got one more verse or two maybe. Let's do that quickly. Next verse. Is there another verse? Am I imagining? Oh, it is. Okay. Okay, as you therefore have received Christ, you received him in your heart, you received him by faith, as you've received him, walk in him that way. Walk in him in faith, rooted and built up in him. I hated what that Sparkle Creed says, that we're a whole bunch of people rooted in mud. Rooted in mud and gazing at the stars. I mean, are you serious? My feet are rooted on the word of God. Keep your feet rooted in him and built up in him. And I'm not gazing at the stars. I'm looking at the face of Jesus. Stay rooted in him and built up in him, established in your faith. I'll go back to it. Be like the atheist who came to God because of a settled conclusion in their heart. And it's really hard to jerk them out of their faith. Let your faith be rooted and built up, established as you have been taught. You have the word to check everything you're taught. You have the word to teach you. You have God to teach you. The word of God has to have first place in your life, in your house, in your home, in your heart, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And the more you thank God, the stronger your faith is. So thank you, God, for what you've taught us tonight. Thank you, God. I see your heart, that you're longing for us to be more connected with you every day so that you can dress us in the character of Christ for every situation you're going to bring in front of us. Thank you for revealing that to us. Thank you for making it real to us. Now, God, what I'm asking is that you show us, teach us, help us to live it, to practice it every day. And one more time, Father, bless Sharon as she moves into a new season of her life, and bless every one of us as we move into a new season in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.